This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Welcome to one of the final episodes of the Florida Spectacular for 2022. I'm your host, Kathy Silustri, joined by the indubitable Rick Kilby, and I'm assuming that is short for Richard. Is that correct, Rick?
That is correct. Richard Patrick.
Richard Patrick. Good Irish name, right?
Well, it's not so much because of my lineage. It's because I was named after my father, Richard Arlen, and my mother, Patricia Ann.
There you go. That's nice.
We're mostly English and Welsh.
Well, that's very Anglican. Mm-hmm. Very Northern. I got together with a group of friends this weekend and we were talking about ancestry, and some of us have had our ancestry DNA done. And a few surprises in there when we talk about stuff like that. You know, you're told your whole life you're this, and then you find out, wait a minute, I'm also this, or I'm not this. And anyway.
I was hoping for surprises, but got none.
Yeah, I have yet to have a secret sibling show up, which is probably good. Might be too old to find a surprise sibling. But ask me why I was getting together with a group of friends this weekend.
Well, I know, but let's hear it.
Listeners don't, Rick. You got to go with the theatrics of this.
Was it a milestone event?
It was a milestone event. We all turned 50 this year, and we've all known each other from either grade school or sixth grade. And we got together on Treasure Island. I believe you were down there too. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. It was a lot of fun. We stayed on the beach. It was freezing. I mean, not literally. If you're not in Florida, you're going to say it wasn't freezing. It was in the 50s. But if you live in Florida, that's anything below 70 is really freezing. But it got me thinking. Turning 50 got me thinking, not about anything cosmic, like what does it all mean? I don't care what it all means. I'm just here for the ride. But it got me thinking about, not to sound too Billy Crystal and City Slickers, how much time do you have left? And what do you want to do with that time? And what are some things that are on your bucket list? And I think that conversation started because I told them I live in constant fear that I'm going to die before this next manuscript is published. And they said, well, don't worry about that. Your editor, your publisher will publish it. I'm like, no, it's not ready. I can't die until I finish the edits. But it got me thinking about stuff I want to do and bucket lists. And I don't know, do you ever think about your bucket list?
I do. A lot of it is, you know, it's funny because I have a love-hate relationship with social media, but it's easier to see these photos of these places that you haven't been to. And it's in some ways, you know, I'm a very visual person, and you see these photos and it's like, I have to go there. You know, I need to see that in person because, you know, photos are only so good. To experience it in person is a whole nother dimension. And there's a lot of great Florida stuff I haven't experienced in person.
Really?
Yes.
I think you're in a centrally located place. It should be easy for you to strike out on adventure. So let's hear it. What's Florida bucket list?
Okay. So I would say the biggest one is probably geographically the furthest one. And that would be Fort Jefferson and the Dry Tortugas. And that's someplace I've always wanted to see, not only because of the history there, but also because of just the beauty of, you know, the reefs that surround that place. Have you been there?
I have been there several times. I was most recently there February of this year. Now, let me tell you, you need to get there soon. And here's why. It will not be here in a few years. The National Park Rangers were pretty clear with me. Sea level rise is a thing. But, you know, there's a fort around it. So you think, well, okay, so the upper stories of the fort will still be there. It's Fort Jefferson, that particular key in the Dry Tortugas, is actually starting to see water coming up inside the fort. They actually have part of it blocked off with barricades because they're now seeing there's going to be a lake inside. There's going to be a saltwater lake there.
Wow.
But it's beautiful. It's well, okay. So for those of us, for those people who don't know what we're talking about, it is 70 miles off Key West. The Dry Tortugas are accessible only by boat, really dedicated kayakers, which we don't recommend, or a seaplane.
Expensive, and, an expensive ride on a seaplane.
Yeah, I mean, the Fast Cat that goes over there, it's a 2.5 hour trip, and it's about $110 or $120. Now, that includes breakfast and lunch and also a boat ride out to a place you can't go. It's definitely worth it. And it's incredible. I mean, there's a lot of great history. I know you know some of this. Samuel Mudd, who, if you've ever heard the phrase, his name is, you know, your name is Mudd. That's not M-U-D. It's M-U-D-D after Samuel Mudd. And it's he was imprisoned there. And he, of course, was imprisoned there because he set John Wilkes Booth's leg after Wilkes Booth assassinated President Lincoln. And so he was sent there. There was a yellow fever outbreak on the Key. And he was a doctor. He actually nursed a lot of the guards and kept them, saved their lives. And he got his, I guess that would be clemency. He was released after that. And there's a fascinating history there. I love our forts. And I actually have somebody I want to have talk about forts with us, but I'm not going to get into the fort construction. But there's a fascinating history. It is paradise in the middle of nowhere. And I, Rick, you've got to go. You've got to go this year. Promise me you'll do it this year.
We'll see. A lot depends on my wife's schedule because I don't want to go down there by myself. This is her last year and then she retires and I will have a lot more freedom to go places like that. You know, one of the things I noticed, you know, because you talked about the process of your book is that when you're doing research, it's easier to find justification to go places. It's like, I have to go there because I'm working on this book. And you have that single-minded focus. But once your book is done, it's some of the, you know, I don't travel nearly as much as I did when I was working on my book.
Well, you have to just start another book, Rick. That's what I'm doing. I don't know why you're not doing that. Everything's a write-off. It's wonderful.
It's so, you know, maybe we should have a whole podcast just devoted to the process of writing books and you know, how, you know,
can
it's.
We have, I'll do that. But can we have a therapist?
Yeah, maybe that could be our guest.
I mean, I just told you literally, I'm afraid I'm going to die and they're going to publish my book with some cursory edits just to get their money out of it. And I mean, I think there's some complex issues when it comes to writing books, but you should go write another book about, I don't know, all the parks in Florida or all the forts. And then you have to go. I think it's a great bucket list trip.
I agree. Well, it is a great trip.
Your wife gets Christmas off and spring break and all that stuff.
Yep. Well, so what would be the top of your list?
So this one is, they're all, you can't ask me what's the top of my list. It's like asking Kathy, what's your favorite cheese or something like, I can't do it, but I can tell you the one that I really want to do. And I got so close. Every August in the full moon in the Florida Keys, the corals spawn at night. And if you are out on the water or doing a night dive, you can see the little organisms in the water spawning. And it just happens once a year. And I really want to be out there at night and see it. Now, that said, a couple years ago, my husband and I did go out there, but long story short, we were at Bahia Honda State Park and we got a great campsite because there was a hurricane that was supposed to hit the Keys. It veered off at the last minute. And we, because they cancel everything, right? You can't get a state park reservation if a hurricane's coming. So we got a last minute campsite there, drove down there, gonna get it, gonna see the coral spawn. The mosquitoes had settled in so badly. I mean, so very badly. I can't stress how bad this was. Not for me. I very rarely get bitten. My husband is, I don't know that he must be like the love interest of every mosquito in a tri-state area. He had welts everywhere. We had to leave basically. Wow. So I missed it. I was so close. Well, I didn't want him to die. That would have been selfish.
So what does it look like, coral spawning?
I don't know. And did just drive it home, Rick. I don't know.
I got to Google that.
It's going to be in our show notes. But I just think it's this fascinating, it's a fascinating thing that happens, and it happens once a year. And we love to think that we are superior to all types of animals, and coral basically an animal, but these animals after millennia have figured out this is, I mean, it's all there. It's all inside them. There's like this genetic memory. And I want to witness something that is that entrenched in the existence of our planet that happens without human help, without anything. It's just, it's going to happen whether we're here or not. And it's going to happen on this day, depending on the phase of the moon in this month, no matter what. And I don't know. It's probably going to look like a little bit of tiny flecks of things moving through the water. It's probably not going to be like, you know, a fireworks show or anything like that. And I'm not expecting it to be, but I want to be a part. I want to see and witness that the essence of our existence just repeating like that. I want to see it once.
Have you done the bioluminescence paddles? Where you see that
phenomenon? I have not done the bioluminescence paddles, but I have been in the water when there's bioluminescence. Mm. And let me tell you, if you don't know what bioluminescence is and the water around you starts to sparkle, it's freaky as hell. Have you done the bioluminescence?
Yeah, I paddled. It was the Banana River. It's only about an hour from me, but gosh, it's spectacular. It just such a crazy, cool phenomena.
It's one of those things.
Yeah,
you know, it's fascinating, and it doesn't happen over here like it does. The East Coast of Florida is very particularly known. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words. Particularly known for this bioluminescence. So what was it like?
You know, I could never photograph it because the photos just wouldn't turn out. You know, the one that we saw was blue. So every time your paddle hit the water, it was almost like your paddle was like a butter knife spreading this glowing, glue, sparkly stuff across the water. And it was magical. It was incredible. And it was such a fun paddle because, you know, it's nighttime and there's all sorts of stuff going on in the water. A couple of people were hit by mullet flying out of the water in their kayaks. And we went to all sorts of different interesting places along the lagoon. And we came back, it was a little bit choppy and we almost kind of had to surf into the park. I think it was Kelly Park where we left from. But I actually took a water bottle and filled it with the water there. And when I got home, I got into a room that was completely dark and shook it. And I could see just a little bit of it glowing.
But you killed them.
I killed them. Well, they're algae, aren't they?
They're not a bad algae.
Oh, they're not a bad algae. Well, yeah, I guess I did.
Not really where we wanted to go with this bucket list. I'm sorry. I can be kind of a downer.
And I've already done that, so it's not on my bucket list anymore. It would have been something that I would have had on my bucket list originally, but I've done it. And I would love to do it again, but it's only in the really warm months that it does that. It's I think September, August, I think are probably the best months around here.
And when you say around here, you mean
Space Central Coast. Florida. Space Coast Space is Coast. Where I would go for that, which is, you know, Brevard County for the most part.
And we'll have, of course, a link to that. But what else is on your bucket list that you haven't done yet? Florida bucket list.
Believe it or not, I'm embarrassed to say this. I've never been in an airboat and I would love to do an airboat ride in the Everglades. And I don't know. I've been around airboats. Part of it is, you know, if you paddle in a kayak or a canoe or just are in a regular watercraft, an airboat comes up, they're so noisy and just such... like the noise is almost like violence. You know, it's just you're in this peaceful, serene setting and you hear an airboat coming around the corner and it's just so loud that I've kind of had a bad attitude. But there are certain places like the Everglades. That's what you have to do to get around and see the Everglades. And I've never done that. And I've always wanted to. And I need to.
I've done one in the Everglades. It was incredible. But before I tell you why it was incredible, because it really was, and also fun and hokey. Can you think of any other situation where an airboat might be not violent and intrusive and not just necessary to see things, but where they might come in handy for stuff?
Well, you have to rescue people in shallow water, obviously, you know, because that's the advantage they have over like traditional watercraft. You can get in really shallow water.
Or after a hurricane, when after say a hurricane. Barrier Island is completely cut off from everything.
Did that happen to you?
Not me, but we did have a hurricane this year where the bridges were out and you couldn't get a regular boat. And it, not us, south of us. Those airboats, I used to hate them. I used to hate them. And I, one of the greatest unexpected writing gigs I ever had was Visit Florida called me a few years ago. And they said, we need you to paddle out to these stilt houses with this tour operator on a paddle board and write about it for us. And we'll give you $800. And this was years ago, and $800, I would have done it for free just to be able not to. And we did. And there was a spoil aisle out there. And the tour operator who was with us said to me, I made a comment about the air. He goes, yeah, they're loud. He says, but you know, that island gets a lot of trash on it. And it's really the best way to get the trash off the island because you can't get a regular boat up to it. He says, they're great for that. And it gave me new appreciation. So I went on an airboat tour in the Everglades in the Chokoloskee area. And the company, I don't think they're around anymore. It was Toch Brown Airboat Rides, and they were descendants of Toch, which if you've read Toch Brown, A Life in the Everglades, he was a great guy. But also, that family was very prolific. Everybody down there is related to Toch. And they took us out to an island where Toch had this very lean-to cabin thing that he slept in, let us walk around there. And then they unintentionally made me think it would be possible to run drugs into the Everglades without getting caught, because, and of course, this is a thing that happened for years. They had us in Florida Bay, and all of a sudden the airboat turns and it's going straight towards this wall of mangroves. And I'm thinking, he's not going to hit those. He knows what he's doing, right? And you're getting closer and closer, and you know, it's, my nails are in the fiberglass of the airboat. Fuck, he's going to hit those. We're dying. And at the last minute, he turns the boat and he is in this tunnel that you cannot see. And I was like, holy hell, I'm going to be rich. But of course, the Everglades are filled with stories of people who tried to run drugs using these mangrove tunnels that, unless you're very familiar with the area, you don't see. So I'm not going to do that. No one needs to come investigate. But I can see the temptation for that lifestyle, because these are really hidden tunnels. They're incredible. And then the mangroves are huge down there, Rick. I mean, you don't have mangroves in Orlando, obviously. It's landlocked. But on the Gulf Coast, where I live in the Tampa Bay area, we have mangroves, and they're respectable and they're beautiful. And there's a type of mangrove called the red mangrove that you see at the shoreline. And it has reddish roots, which is hence the name. But the tree is supported by what looks like a cage. And those are actually the roots that form this cage around everything. And in the Tampa Bay area where I live, they're, you know, maybe a foot off the ground. I kid you not, going through the Everglades, some of those root systems were 3 and 4 feet tall. I mean, I've never looked into the roots at eye level, and I was able to do that there, and it was just surreal. Now, the hokey part was, they're like, well, we're going to see if we can find a gator to show you today. And it's like you would go on a dolphin watching tour or something like that off the Gulf Coast. I'm like, well, we're in the Everglades. Let's hope we find a gator. Like, how many? There's like three probably right underneath us right now. You know, like one trying to climb on the boat because he's hungry. So that was a little hokey, but it was definitely, and this might be the part of me that likes to write fiction. It was definitely this guy could kill me and leave me here and no one would ever know what happened to me experience. Like, it's, if you're going to dump a body, pro tip, folks, if you're listening, you need to dump a body, you need to get down to the Everglades, and you need to just get on an airboat and get a little far away from everything. And that's about 20 feet in the Everglades. That's where you do it. I'm going to jail, aren't I, Rick?
Yeah, maybe. Although, you know, if you read any Carl Hyson or Tim Dorsey, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time in their novels. So it's not anything. If somebody's read Florida fiction, it's not anything new. So,
right. No, it's I'm not actually going to kill somebody.
No. I mean, but the Everglades is just, you know, a part of Florida that, you know, it's another thing that we'll probably lose because of climate change. And I really haven't experienced it well. You know, I've driven around kind of the edges of it a couple of times, but I'd like to experience it the way it's meant to be. And I don't want to experience it in the dead of summer.
No, we took our RV. We bought an RV last year and we decided in April to go down and camp at Long Pine Key, I think is the campground, which is the homestead entrance. And we were there the last week they even had the campgrounds open. They just closed the campgrounds, I think the last week of April, first week of May, because it's just not something you want to do. And I can tell you, I can, it was beautiful, but in the middle of the day, we didn't have any, there's no power at that campground. We would get into the car and that's when we're like, okay, well, it's 11:30. It's time to, let's take a drive and look at the Nike missile site. Let's go, go to the visitor center, you know, put the dogs in the car, turn the air conditioning up for a few hours. And that was April. So May, June, July, August, you don't want to be there. You do not want to be there. But in the Everglades, I do want to go down and see the Milky Way because that is a beautiful night sky stuff.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's definitely a good bucket thing. Yeah, I haven't seen a really good sky. You know, I can't remember seeing a great one in Florida, and I haven't seen a really good sky in a long time. So I know you have is it the Kissimmee Prairie, the one you go to?
I have not been to Kissimmee Prairie, but that is the place to do night sky viewing. I go to Lake Kissimmee.
Okay.
State Park. It's confusing because it's all over there.
Okay.
But that's supposed to be great viewing. I saw some wonderful night skies last year in the winter at St. George Island State Park. You just have to be on a beach at night.
Yeah.
Helpful if it's sea turtle season, because lights out for sea turtles, and that definitely helps.
So what about you? What is another bucket item list for you?
This one should be easy to do. Blowing Rocks. Are you familiar with Blowing Rocks?
I am. I was down there. We talked about going. I just didn't make the time to go down there. Is it Jupiter? Is it Jupiter where it is?
Yeah, it's in Jupiter. It's actually a nature conservancy. It's not a state park. Blowing Rocks Preserve. It's in, I never know how to say this, Hobe Sound. Hobe Sound?
Hobie? Is it Hobie? I don't know.
It's H-O-B-E. I don't know how you say it. But I really would like to spend some time there, because you don't typically think about rocky shorelines in Florida, and that's what it has. And the water gets pushed up between the rocks, and the water blows out. I mean, it's a very dramatic experience. So
that's definitely one on my list too. And I have no excuse, because I was just down there, except for that I was kind of on a schedule. You know, another one, it's funny because I think we're both kind of based in the center part of the peninsula, and you know, so there's great unexplored territory to the north and to the south. And we seem to be focusing on the south primarily. But one of the ones that just happened this month was Art Basel. And I know we're talking about maybe doing a big Florida art show. But the reason I'm not doing a book is I'm focusing more on, you know, doing my own art right now. And Art Basel has never really interested me in the past. But now that I'm focused on art again, I really want to go to Art Basel.
So you've never been to Art Basel, is that what you're saying?
I have not, no.
It's huge. I like Miami. I am not, there are parts of it I like less than other parts of it. But Art Basel, yeah, I mean, Miami's fascinating to me, and any excuse just to drive through it and see it. I'm more of a Miami Beach person, not because I have a Miami Beach body, just because I love the architecture there. But that's fantastic. So I guess it's my turn again.
Yeah, Art Basel's mine. And if you don't know what Art Basel is, it's this giant, you know, they have like four of them, I think. You know, the most famous one is in Switzerland. And I think that it's named after the town in Switzerland where they have it. And then Miami Beach, it's early in December, and it's just kind of a big art thing. So what, you're next.
This one is something I am ashamed to admit. I want to go to Jupiter Springs in Ocala National Park. I've never been there.
Juniper
Springs. Juniper Springs. I'm sorry. Is it Jupiter?
Yeah.
It's been a long year. Juniper Springs. I've never been there. And I just fascinated with Ocala National Park because of everything that's around it. I mean, it on all sides of Ocala National Park, it's just a glut of development, right? And I'm just fascinated that there's this forest in the middle of it, and you're walking along, and then all of a sudden there's a hole in the ground, and it's just shimmering, and it's beautiful. I very badly want to do that. Now, of course, I don't believe their campsites there have power. So that's one of those things you have to do at the right time of year.
It's the first thing I have to correct you. It's Ocala National Forest. It's not a national park.
Oh, good God. Did I say park? Can I just have a do-over with this whole segment? I feel like an idiot.
But there are a number of very large springs there. There's a ton of springs that are smaller. Juniper is a great one. What's unique about Juniper is it was the Civilian Conservation Corps during the New Deal really built the facilities there, and they built a little mill there to generate power using the water, the force of the water coming out of the spring, and that's still there. It's been restored. But if you just take the little hike there, you can go to another place called Fern Hammock that has the sand boils coming up. And it's one of the most beautiful places in Florida because it's kind of a lagoon with sand boils coming up. So you have kind of that aqua water and the boiling water that kind of looks like coral.
Can you explain for everybody listening what a sand boil is? Because I think people are picturing sand spurting into the air, and I'm not sure that's what you mean.
It's a spring that has sand on top. So if you've probably seen pictures of the mud boils like at Yellowstone where the mud spurts out, but imagine this is underwater. And it's, you know, most springs, there's like a little cave, but in this situation, there's sand on top. So it kind of bubbles up and percolates, and the sand kind of dances around. And there's a number of those. The water's fairly shallow, so you can see them all. And then there's big live oak trees on the sides that kind of go over the water. It's very hard to photograph because you have extreme darks and lights, you know, a lot of contrast, but it is spectacular. And there's a bridge that goes over, and it's just a very beautiful place. And there, it goes to a spring run called Juniper Run that eventually makes its way out to the St. John's, I believe. And it's one of the best spring runs, you know, you can do in a canoe or a kayak in the state. You know, the water comes really fast, or at least it used to. I haven't done it in a number of years. And there's also other springs up and down, tiny little ones. There's the one that everybody tries to get called Sweetwater Cabin. That's a little offshoot off Juniper Run. You have to win a lottery in order to get the cabin, but I think it sleeps 12, and it has its own spring. So you can wake up every morning and have your personal spring, and the spring comes with a gator, and the gator lives in the spring, and it's a amazing place. But the other big springs in the Ocala National Forest are Alexander, which is beautiful, Silver Glen, which is a very popular recreational resource. So you don't want to get there on a holiday weekend because you won't be able to get near it. And then Salt Springs, which is kind of close to Palatka. And those are the big four of the Ocala National Forest.
And Silver Glen, that is, my understanding is that's closed right now, though.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. That's, I mean, somebody said that to me, that it was temporarily closed, and that I don't know why. But Silver Glen is very popular, I thought, right? I thought it was one of the more popular.
Yeah. Honestly, on a holiday weekend in the summer, you can't even get on it. It's just, you know, boats wall to wall to wall. Don't see anything. But, you know, the key to going to some of these springs is to go during the off season. There's a place that you're not supposed to access. You have to get special permission, called the Well. And it's this spring where all these striped bass are attracted there, and they just swim in circles. And if you can probably find a photograph of it online. It's a great place. I want to go, you know, that's kind of not a bucket list thing, but I want to go back to some of these springs, but they are federal as opposed to our state parks. And so they're not open on my birthday, which stinks.
You know, is your birthday coming up soon? Very soon.
Yeah, it's the 24th. So
right.
So I would hit any of these four if they were open on my birthday, but they're not. So
Well, I mean, I always suffer from, I want to do too much.
Yeah.
Can't just take a 2-hour road trip and do one or two things. It's like, oh, well, let's do this and let's do that and let's do this. And what about this? And it's like, well, you only have 2 hours. And so I never get to really spend the time there that I want to do. I want very badly to spend more time, and I want to visit all the WPA places in our state and national parks in Florida, but it's we've got quite a few, but there are some that I would like to spend more time with. And that's not really a bucket list thing. It's just want to do it. Do you have anything else on your bucket? I mean, there's obviously, we each have a lot on our bucket list, but is there anything really pressing before we?
There are so many things that I would, you know, I love botanical gardens, and there's a couple of good ones in South Florida, like Fairchild Botanical Garden. I haven't been to what's the guy's name? Was it David Fairchild, who was the famous botanist? I can't remember. It's named after him. I'd love to see that. I guess I'm just going to go, this is going to be my South Florida edition, and then I can do the Panhandle edition another time, because there's so many in the Panhandle. And I want to, how do you say it? Ahtatiki? Is that the right word?
Ahtatiki. Yes.
I've been wanting to go there for a long time.
I cannot recommend them highly enough. That is incredible. And it is totally not appreciated, but they have a wonderful rotating exhibit in the gallery. Right now, they are doing Explore Seminole Traditions, and they also have art from different Seminole artists. And if you need to go, and I suggest you do, you can, I know you don't have an RV or a camper, and we're all past tent camping, I think. There is a campground operated by, it's a tribal business, and one of the tribal members owns it on the reservation right there, and they have cabins, and you can go stay there and really get the feel for what it's like. But it's definitely well worth going to, because it's one of the only ways you can see some of old Florida and what traditions and cultures looked like before the Europeans decided that we liked it too.
So. Yeah, I love the idea.
They are closed on your birthday.
Yeah, of course. I love the idea that it's interpreted through the eyes of the Native Americans. Whereas, you know, that's one thing that really fascinates me, is if you go to some of these places that are state parks, to, you know, see how it's interpreted. Some of them do a good job of having a contemporary perspective. Some of them do not, and it's painful. But to me, it's always interesting, because you don't know what you're going to get from place to place to place. And I love the idea, because you're hearing these stories that, you know, we're used to the kind of European, just, you know, point of view.
Narrative, yes.
Yeah, narrative. And so I'd love to hear it from an indigenous point of view.
Well, it's a definite different version of history. It's probably a little more unvarnished.
Yeah.
I believe it to be more accurate, because we seem to have this desire, and I think all humans do it. If you defeat or triumph over or marginalize another culture, you're not going to paint yourself as the asshole. You're just not going to do it, right? So when we talk about everything as Euro-Americans, we have one point of view, and then there's this tribe kicking it over here going, hey, well, wait a minute, we're still here. And here's what we know. And unlike many tribes, they have a good budget because of the hard rock and the gaming to really devote themselves to finding the artifacts and finding the records that can support what they're saying. And then some of them are oral traditions, which I understand some historians will say, well, oral traditions are just versions of a story, but all history is versions of a story. But they do have a lot of written records there too. And I find them to be a fascinating resource, and just, they do things right from a museum perspective. They do their research right. They have a beautiful archive. And then the exhibits they do are really decolonizing the history for people. You know, they were a very sophisticated culture before anybody else showed up here. And they show you that. So I would do it. And I have to correct myself. They're open from 9 a.m. to noon on Christmas Eve. So if you left at 5 a.m., you could get there, but you're going to need more than 3 hours.
And I'm going to be at the other end of the state, unfortunately.
What are you doing for your birthday?
A lot will depend on the weather. It's supposed to be very cold on the 24th. It's supposed to be in the 20s. So I'm just kind of playing it by ear. I have options, but we'll see. It's supposed to be, colder than it's been in a very long time. And I do like swimming in the springs when it's chilly, but not that cold.
No, that's as I would say, a sin against God and nature. I am. They are saying, at least down here, this is the coldest Christmas we're going to have in I don't know how long. I mean, and it's only going to get down into the 30s where we are. And when I say only, I say that very casually, like I'm going to be okay with that. I am not. I might not even go outside on Christmas Day. I might not get out of bed on Christmas Day. I might just say to my husband, look, bring the presents in here. It's warm. It's a list. We've got a list here. You're right. We did focus on the South. I think the farthest north we got was my Juniper Springs, but I have one more.
Okay.
And it's Southern. But no, what were you going to say? Please.
I mean, I have a whole list of stuff in the panhandle, but I don't know if you want to hear it.
We need to do it another time. Can't overwhelm people with how awesome Florida is all at once, but I do have one more. And that is, I want to see the ghost orchid.
Ooh.
I am very interested in seeing the ghost orchid. And that's unfortunately not something, there are no tours for that. There are no ways to do it. The ghost orchid, the best thing I can tell you, if you've not heard of the ghost orchid, it is an incredibly interesting, rare, unusual orchid that has just a history of people trying to steal it. Go read The Orchid Thief by Susan Orleans, because it talks about the orchid drama. I am currently reading Craig Pittman's The Scent of Scandal, which is one of his older books about another orchid scandal that has nothing to do with this. But orchids, we should really do a whole show on Florida orchids too, because I've never seen a plant with so much drama around it and indictments. So, but the ghost orchid is so lusted after that it blooms in Big Cypress, but not even most of the park rangers don't even know where it is. They can't even access the file about the ghost orchid. And so you really have to be willing to wander around extensively when it might be blooming. And it's just, it's a fascinating, beautiful orchid. The only way I can describe it is it looks like an old man that has a five-leafed, not even a leaf, but like a blossom behind his head, a starburst, with his legs manspread wide and his arms resting on his knees. I don't know how else to explain what it looks like. And that's based on pictures. And it fascinates me. And I would love to see it in its natural setting. It only blooms in June and July. Which in South Florida, it is high mosquito season.
Yeah.
So it's really fascinating. I lust after that orchid, as do so many. I don't want to own it. I don't want to possess it. I just want to see it once.
I think that's the best, is to see something in its natural setting and experience it and kind of share the space with it, but not try and possess it and take it home with you or anything like that. And thanks for the reminder that I do need to cover up my orchids because of the freeze coming. I had totally forgotten about that. And I don't think they'd fare very well in 20 degrees weather.
I have an orchid that I've had for years outside, and I actually left it outside when it was in the 50s a few weeks ago, and I think it's done.
Oh.
I feel bad. Like, I want to have a funeral for this orchid. I feel so bad. Like, it trusted me.
Oh.
But yeah, it's, go get your orchids right now. That's a good list to get people started. Obviously, if we are huge Florida fans and we haven't done a lot of these, then take your time, work through it. bioluminescence, we'll have some links to that in the show notes. That's already in the bucket for both of us, but it's definitely worth doing. And, you know, it's just, there's so much to see. Do you ever get overwhelmed, Rick? Like, you're not going to see it all.
I do. And, you know, the other, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was like stuff in Pensacola. And it's like, I can get to Atlanta almost easier than I can Pensacola. And it's a long way. Hey, you know, think about from Pensacola to Key West, just how big our state is and how different, how many different cultures you have between lower Alabama and the Conks. It's cool.
It's fascinating to me. I imagine people in Texas maybe feel this way too, but we are far more fascinating a state. No, well, you know what? Yes, disrespect to Texas. I had some bad experiences there. But Florida, yeah, Pensacola, my problem getting to Pensacola is that there's too much to stop and do along the way. I mean, in my book, I talk about us taking US 98 from basically Perry at US 19 over to Pensacola. And I make the comment that Google says you can do this in like 4 or 5 hours. And Google's wrong because Google doesn't understand. You have to stop at Indian Pass Raw Bar. You have to stop here. You have to have an oyster here. You have to have gumbo here. I mean, it is just a, if you love seafood, there's no way you can do that in 5 hours. It just, there's too many beautiful places, but we can do that. We can do that in a future episode. And I mean, we have a lot. We have a lot.
Yeah.
And I would encourage the people listening that email us, Kathy@floridaspectacular.com, and tell us what's on your Florida bucket list. We need to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that, you know, we had that restaurant show, and there were some of the restaurants we talked about that I really want to go to that I've never been to. And just, there's a new one that I might stop on the way up to Gainesville and try it out, you know, kind of an old Florida place. And I love deep fried stuff and, you know, all those, what's the heart of palm salad in Cedar Key and things like that that are so unique.
I love heart of palm salad. It's horribly exploitative, as I understand it, but God, it's good.
Yeah.
So you gotta talk about food. If you're going to do Gainesville, you have to go to Satchel's Pizza. Have you been there?
Oh yeah, I've been to Satchel's Pizza. There's a new one called Satchel's Square that has that square style now that's so popular with the kind of crusty, you know, crunchy crust. I love it.
That's the only Satchel's I've had, and I have celiac. And they have a gluten-free, and you cannot get a thick crust gluten-free pizza anywhere. I am prepared to drive to Gainesville next week just to get this pizza and drive home again. That's how good it is.
There's some good food stuff in Gainesville. There's a place called The Top that's very good. That's one of my favorites. I think Emiliano's still there. It's a Cuban place. Some of my favorite places aren't there anymore, unfortunately, but it's got some good things. Again, you know, I love Gainesville. It's home for me. I love going back, and it's a good museum city, and I hopefully will hit a museum or two while I'm there. The Harn is great, and the Florida Museum of Natural History. You know,
definitely make a list while you're there. It sounds like what we're gearing up for is the Gainesville episode.
Oh, I can do that. I can do that. You got to see I have an exhibit that I designed at the Matheson Museum in Gainesville that, I'm very proud of, about the Great Southern Music Hall. So we could talk about that too.
I can't wait. But for now, I think what we have to do is end the podcast so we can get out and go do our airboat rides and blowing rocks and make plans to try and see the ghost orchid in June somehow in full mosquito regalia.
And wish everyone a spectacular Florida holiday.
A wonderful, fantastic Florida Hanukkah and a Florida Christmas. And of course, we are taping this on the solstice. So a happy Saturnalia to all.
Go out there and find your Florida spectacular.
Definitely. We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.